Thank you. Hi. Welcome. Welcome to episode number 3 of the Excellency Fiddlesticks podcast. Thanks for coming by. A couple things before we get started here. You notice the theme music is different. I think I'm going to go with a different theme every week just to maybe have something that hopefully ties into what the theme of the show is for the week, if the shows even have themes, or maybe something that, a song which kind of goes along with some of the things we might be talking about. That song is Waiting for the End of the World by Elvis Costello. End of the World is an interesting concept, which I think we'll hear about. One sign of the end of the world, things that people are selling. This might become a feature that the fact that a certain product even exists, which to me is bizarre. Here's how this came about. I was actually on the road one day on the highway, and I was following a pickup truck at a pretty decent distance. And I noticed the what looked to be maybe something hanging from the axle of his car, which I'm wondering is maybe hopefully it's not something like it's going to fall off and clonk into my windshield or something. Which reminds me of idiots who throw, anytime somebody throws a cigarette butt out their window, and you know how it goes. Every time it goes out their window, it immediately goes right behind the car, and it goes right underneath your car, right underneath, you know, right directly under your car. And when you see that, you see this lit, spark-filled object heading for you at a high rate of speed. The only thing that goes through my mind is it's going to explode my car, and I'm going to die because this asshole had to throw a cigarette out the window. And my car is going to blow up like Robert De Niro in Casino when his car blew up when he started it. It never happens, but there's always that thought that it's going to happen, and that drives me nuts. So I'm looking at this truck, and I'm thinking there's something bad's going to happen because he's got something, you know, a loose part hanging from his car. Get a little closer, and I'm realizing it doesn't look like it's a car part because I've never seen car parts that color. It appeared to be sort of pinkish, maybe flesh-type color. I get even closer, and I said that it really looks like a set of testicles. Now, my first theory, because I watch a lot of horror movies, is that I'm following a serial killer, and he's using, you know, the victim's body parts to adorn his car, in which case I should get the hell away from him. Closer inspection, obviously they're not real, thankfully, but they're definitely balls, and that's, I don't know, to say I was relieved at that point is a little crazy, but this guy's got a pair of balls hanging from his car. Real, you know, well, plastic, or whatever they're made of, but a facsimile of a set of nuts hanging from his car, and I realized I did some research. That's the name of the product. They're called truck nuts. The fact that these exist means that somebody somewhere came up with an idea, said, you know, I want to do something. They had to pitch it to somebody and, you know, get investors to help create a prototype, bring it into some company and say, look, I have this product and I think we're going to sell a million of these things. They're going to sell like hotcakes. How about backing me? What could the pitch meeting have been like where you go in to say, look, I've got a product which, you know, we understand what you're going to put on your truck, right? We understand you're going to put on the Confederate flag, given. You're going to put on the sticker of Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes urinating on something that you don't like, be it the number of a NASCAR driver you hate, be it a logo like a Chevy logo or a Ford logo. I've seen it up here, even in other places where the Calvin's pissing on Yankees logos, he's pissing on Red Sox. Whatever. Basically, he's pissing on something you hate. You've got all these things in your car, plus assorted bumper stickers, which just illustrate, you know, like maybe a terrorist hunting permit or something like that. But you've got all these things in your car, but you want to take your douchebag redneckness to the next level. You want to take it to a place where no one's gone yet. And I've got just a thing for you guys. We're gonna take a pair of balls, and we're going to hang it from the axle of the car to say, look, see, my car is manly. My truck has got balls. My truck's a man. Do you remember at a time when we used to name or refer to machines or vehicles or ships as females? We'd say, like, oh, how's this boat? Is she seaworthy? Aye, she's quite seaworthy, lassie. She's a great boat. Or you're working on your car in your garage, and someone says, hey, how's she running? She runs pretty smooth. She runs great, you know. We refer to those things as objects of reverence in a female tone because they were beautiful to us, you know, or a ship is a majestic thing of beauty. And these guys said, you know, fuck that. I'm calling, this is my truck, and this is a manly vehicle. You know why? Because, look, it's got balls. And I'm sure the next level is going to be crafting some sort of plastic penis to hang off this thing, but it boggles the mind. And I think we can make this a feature of products that I can't believe even exist. I mean, Truck Nuts is definitely one of them. And you go to their website. They have a website, and they're $15. And, yes, they come in brass, which was the first question I had, brass-colored anyway, to have, you know, brass balls. Camo or chrome, which is also interesting, but the flesh tone ones, the one I saw, which are just bizarre. Green, I don't understand, maybe alien. Red, it looks terrible. Yellow is just horrible looking, but it's all for sale. And by the way, if you want to look at these Truck Nuts, it's spelled Truck Nuts with a Z because they're badass. And what says badass more than spelling it with a Z? There's a trend that's not too tired, right? Speaking of things that I'm tired of, I was watching The Soup last week, which is, if you're not familiar with that, it's a show on E! Where Joel McHale basically just makes fun of a lot of reality shows that are on TV, playing clips that are funny, and it's more funny what they do after when they make fun of the people who are on the shows. I think you can understand why I would like a show like that, but I noticed that apparently Kate Gosselin of John and Kate Plus 8 fame has been given another show. Now, I really thought, I wish I didn't know who this person is, but I do. I really thought that America had enough of this person, and we were tired of her, and we certainly were going to have no more, not to have to endure her on television anymore after. Now, I understand when they got the first show, her and her husband, oh, look at this, they're a young couple, and they've got 8 kids, and isn't it wacky because all the things they have to do to live their life with 8 kids, it's got to be insane, right? Look at all the diapers. Oh, and okay, there's a little bit of interest there. It was a little bit interesting to see how a family would raise 8 kids at once. But I think people grew tired of them pretty quickly because, from what I saw, she was bitchy to everybody, self-entitled, whiny, just miserable, and really just bitchy to every person she met. And he was pretty much a clueless dope who ended up, as we saw later, I guess he cheated on her. Whatever, I know, but they had another season of their show, and things went south, and they were getting a divorce, and that was playing out on the screen. And meanwhile, they have kids' lives that are at stake here. These kids that they're raising are going to certainly headed for some sort of rehab at some point. Then, you know, I thought we were done with them after they got divorced. It would make sense that you wouldn't have these two raising these kids anymore together, so the show's gone. And she shows up in Dancing with the Stars, and she just proves to be one of the most loathsome people you're going to see. And you know, she didn't win, and she, whatever, they got rid of her there. Fine, go away. We're done with you again. And they brought her back again for the show. And what the one clip that I've seen from the show that McHale shows this night on The Soup is, what is she doing? Shocker, she's being bitchy to a guy who's trying to help her do something, whether they're bungee jumping or some sort of activity her and the kids are doing. And newsflash, yeah, she's being a total bitch to this guy and demanding all these things about the most. She's the most entitled person I've ever met. Not that I've met her, but I've seen. Anyway, I looked at the ratings for the show, and I don't think, you know, maybe we are tired of her because the ratings were not very good. It loses out to, for some reason, Pawn Stars is one of the biggest shows on cable right now, and I wonder how many people are tuning in thinking it's about porn stars. Either way, the show does a lot of numbers, but her numbers were not good, so maybe this is the last of her 15 minutes of fame. One can only hope so. Bottom line, she annoys me. Thank you. And speaking of things that annoy me, you like the segue. I see from time to time, and I saw Carolla do this, Adam Carolla did this in his book, and it was wonderful. It's just certain types of guys which do things that annoy you. Mine are just, I see the same things. They're more the things that people do, maybe not on a daily basis, but things people do which bother me. And the first thing that I've noticed is that there's the guy who really bugs me is a guy who's way too comfortable with his own nudity. Now, you see this in I'm not talking about a guy who's a nudist. They're a whole different breed. The people who go to their little camps or whatever, do they even still have these anymore? I know this was big in the 70s. You heard about it a lot. Where you go and you're nude with other people and you just do nude things in a nude manner with nude people. This is different. This mostly I see this in a locker room environment, especially at a big public gym, you know. And you think about a locker room. Most people are there are either, you know, no one's going to hang out there. You're either coming or going. You're just getting in there. You want to get ready, get working out. You got somewhere to go after that. Or you're leaving. You're finished working out. You want to get in the shower, get out of there because you got to go to dinner. You got to go back to work, something. But there's usually it's very like a transition area. And yes, you're going to be nude, obviously, because you're going to shower. Nobody showers with their clothes on, obviously. So there's a lot of nudity around you. But if you notice, most people don't linger in their nudity. They're going to go and get to the shower, get their job done, and move out. And it's, again, people have conversations, but it's in the context of other things happening, right? You're doing other things. You're getting dressed. You're grooming yourself after your shower. You're getting ready to go work out. But you're doing other things. But then there's the guy who decides he's going to not only stick around in his new, he's in no hurry, first of all. He's going to walk around and he's going to have a conversation with you while he's naked. He's going to walk over to the scale and get on the scale while he's nude and weigh himself. He's going to wander around and stand longingly in front of the mirror, blow-drying his hair, nude. You know, you're going to stop by and have a conversation. It's a little awkward when I'm sitting there maybe putting my shoes on and look over and I see your junk is about, you know, 15 inches away from my forehead. It's uncomfortable. It's unsettling. It's creepy. Put a towel on, but please do something. But for the love of God, don't walk around and swing yourself at me. And by the way, you would assume that a guy who was this comfortable being nude would probably be have good reason to be comfortable, be very proud of what he was maybe displaying. I got to tell you, in my experience, and yeah, for, of course I looked. The guys I've seen who were fit this profile, nothing special. So even more so reason. You know, either that or it's a really old guy. And old guys, I can understand. Old guys don't give a shit. Old guys like, you know, I was in the war. Fuck you. I don't care. But please, you know, if you're relatively, if you're not a senior citizen, please just put a towel on. That's all I ask. Thank you. The other guy that annoys me is the guy who decides to maintain a conversation in a bathroom. And I should say that, you know, I hope women don't do this. I like to think they don't because I like to think of women as more delicate, at least a little more tactful than men are. Men are, you know, we're kind of stupid and kind of piggish. And I will say that you can have a conversation with me at a urinal. You can have a conversation at the urinal because, you know, we've usually got the one urinal buffer zone between us. That's a one rule of manliness is that you have to have a one urinal buffer zone unless you can't avoid it like you're at a ball game or something. And if there's only two urinals, as long as there's a partition, and the conversation we have to each other has got to be our eyes are straight ahead. We don't make eye contact. We don't look at each other, but we can have the conversation. That's not the guy I'm talking about. I'm talking about the guy who decides to, you know, starts a conversation with somebody in the bathroom, proceeds to head into the stall, right, shuts the door, continues the conversation. You're thinking to yourself, it's got to stop now because literally shit's about to go down. They're going to stop. He's going to stop talking at some point because this, to me, when you go in that stall and you shut that door, that's the fortress of solitude, man. That's where you don't want to have anything else going on. That's my moment to be alone. Okay, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to deal with you. The only thing I want to do is maybe read if I'm reading a newspaper or something. I don't want to have any interaction with another human being while I'm in there doing my business, right? Not this guy. This guy decides not only he's going to go in there, and you're listening to this. You see it. You see how the whole thing starts to go down. They're talking. He continues talking. He goes in, shuts the door, still talking. You hear the belt buckle flopping. Yep, still talking. Buckle hits the ground, still talking. Apparently, you know, he's seconds away from sitting down. And as soon as he hits the seat, he's still talking as he's unleashing hell into an echo chamber. You know, it's a bowl, right? Obviously, it's a very echoey room. He's loudly and violently, you know, voiding his bowels and still maintaining the conversation. I don't know what's worse, that guy who's talking while he's shitting or the other person who says, you know, maybe let's keep this going or maybe we should take this outside. We'll, you know, I'll give you your 5 minutes. We'll take it offline. Either way, you're both guilty. But, the guy in the stall is the instigator. He's even more guilty. Do everybody a favor. If you're in a public bathroom, guys, please say, you know what, give me 5 minutes. We'll meet outside. We'll finish this conversation. That's how it should be. And I really, really hope, I really like to think women don't do this. If you're a woman and you listen to this show and you find otherwise, I want to know about it because it's, maybe I don't want to know about it. You know, you're right, forget it. I don't want to know about it because, again, you women can't be as disgusting as that. But if you're that guy, you know, you can wait the 5 minutes. You're not talking about splitting atoms here. So thank you. It won't be the end of the world. And when I talk about the end of the world, that'll lead me to my next thing. I don't know if you realize this. I'm recording this now. It's late April 2011. And apparently there's only a short bit of time left, so I better start recording more shows quickly, or at least come to some kind of point, because apparently May 21st is when Judgment Day is coming. And I don't mean Judgment Day like Terminator 2 Judgment Day. This is Judgment Day. This is the real deal. According to a website, judgmentday2011.com, they're religious people. I don't know where they're from, but they have done the math, apparently. And they have figured it out. They have mathematically figured it out by using the Bible, which is their source material, that May 21st, 2011, based on whatever, however they've, I don't know what their algorithm they use, whatever their formula is, but they've mathematically figured out that May 21st is Judgment Day. Not the end of the world, Judgment Day. That's when Jesus comes down and says, all right, I'm going to judge all you bastards, and you've got 5 months, apparently, of hell on earth. And then it's over. So I'll get one more birthday in before it's over, thankfully. So, but then that's it, the end of the world. So you should be ready. Now, one thing that I didn't understand about these guys, there's a few things I don't understand about these guys. First thing is, look, I'm not a theologian by any stretch of the imagination. You wouldn't put my Bible knowledge in a thimble. It wouldn't run over. But I do know, I seem to have heard, and I'm sure I could probably Google it and find out, that I thought in the Bible it said that no man can know when the end is coming, right? So no one would know. So basically it's tells you that it's not for something for you to know or figure out. These guys say, bullshit, we know, and here's how we figured it out, and this is why this is happening. Fine, because, I mean, history is littered with people who've predicted the end of the world since the second day the world started. The first guy said, this kiss can't last forever. It's probably going to end soon. But usually they put the milestones on big numbers like 100 and 1,000 and 1,500 or whatever. We all know about the 2012 Mayan prophecy, which is apparently, you know, a lot of people are buying into that December or something of 2012, it's all going to happen again. And maybe that's driving these guys. These guys, you know, like, screw the Mayans. What the hell do they know? We're using the Bible, damn it. We're more legit as our world ending than they are. But they are very convincing. They're very convinced of it, I should say. They think they're right. One thing I don't understand, though, if I go to their website, which is judgmentday2011.com, the first thing you see on the main page, there's advertising on the page. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what's this all about? If the world's going to end, and you've got, you know, at this less than a month at this point, why do you need to sell advertising on your website? You need money? Money should be the last thing in your mind right now. If anything, you probably should be getting rid of all your money and go living on a hill somewhere. I don't know. But why do you need money? And that kind of takes the piss out of me, because I was going to ask them, if you or anybody who's buying into the 2012 thing or this 2011 thing, if you're so sure that the world's going to end on this such and such a date, then can I have your stuff? Can I have your car? Can I have your big screen TV? Can I have your money? What the hell? You're not going to need it. You don't need any of this stuff. I'm willing to take that off your hands. It's a service I'll provide. And get, you know what? I'll tell you what, guys. If May 22nd comes and we're all still here and nothing's happened and your dates are wrong or your math is wrong or you're completely wrong, I'll even let you have some of the stuff back, maybe at cost. I don't know, but you know, think about it. Give me some of your stuff. What do you say to these people? I mean, I don't know what it is. You go to their site, you look it over, you see the thing. They even mention the Terminator, which is on the first page, which I thought was pretty funny. Because April 21st, if you watched the TV series, the Terminator, Sarah Connor Chronicles, Judgment Day, was April 21st, 2011. That's what they predicted. That's the day that the war started between the humans and things. They even addressed that. So, yeah. They said, yeah, okay, it's not that true, but it's us. It's May 21st. So the Terminator was only off by a month, according to these guys. I hope they're wrong, because I enjoy doing this, and I enjoy life, and I think I'm still not done yet. So, and I don't think a lot of you people probably feel the same way as I do. But hey, if they're right, they're right. It's been real, and hopefully I can get a couple more shows in before before May 21st. And who knows, maybe this show will serve as the judgment as to whether I get taken up to heaven or not. I certainly hope not, because otherwise I'm fucked. Anyway, that's all I got for this week. And I notice I've been doing them every 2 weeks. I want to maybe try and get a little more frequency to the shows, maybe weekly. Real life gets in the way a lot. You know, I have a job. I have work during the week. And yeah, quite honestly, at night when I want to sit down and do this, I'm pretty tired. And I want to make sure I can be in good voice and be of good energy when I do the show. So if you do like the show, I appreciate you listening to this one. I appreciate anything you do, your time. If you like it, pass the link on. Tell somebody. Tell a friend, whatever. I'm going to try and get it on iTunes, which I think will really help for distribution. But like I said before, I don't care if 3 people listen to this thing or 3,000 people or 300. It doesn't matter to me. I'm having fun doing it, and it makes me happy to do it. Even though the world is going to end. That makes sense. You know, as soon as I find something I like doing and I'm doing it on a regular basis, the fucking world's going to end. Anyway, that's all the time I got. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Bish24. You can drop me an email at Bish24@gmail.com. If you're one of the Facebook people, you can drop me a Facebook note as well. Whatever you do, I appreciate it. And thanks very much. And hopefully I'll talk to you soon. Take care.